Hi everyone, I'm Greg Lowe from Down Under in Australia. Cosmos Down Under is a production from SQL Down Under. Cosmos DB is a trademark of Microsoft Corporation. Opinions and views expressed in the podcast are individual and don't necessarily reflect the opinions and views of SQL Down Under or of Microsoft Corporation. Introducing Show 12 with guest Farah Abdu. Welcome. Our guest today is Farah Abdu. Farah is a machine learning engineer and researcher in quantum reinforcement learning with a proven track record of developing AI solutions that address social and environmental challenges. She's excelled in various roles, including teaching, engineering, and project management, contributing to impactful projects in natural language processing, computer vision, and database systems. With a deep passion for innovation and knowledge sharing, she continues to inspire others and drive advancements in AI and technology. So, welcome, Farah.
Thank you, Greg, for this introduction. Thank you.
Welcome. Awesome, thanks. So, what I'll get you to do first up is just get you to give people a rough idea of who you are and what you do.
Well, I am an AI engineer for more than 4 years now. I have a lot of jobs as an instructor for NLP and machine learning. Mm-hmm. With a lot of companies, my passion is for writing. I love to write a lot of blogs, have a lot of session, monitoring a lot of students. I love to deal with databases and AI and how they can mix together to build something useful for people.
Yeah. That's awesome. Actually, where I noticed you preparing a session was one of the ones for Mark Brown and the group in the Cosmos group. And it was sort of in passing, sort of mentioned the fact that you'd been using the Cosmos DB emulator. And I've been meaning to have a show that talks about that for a while. So I was just keen to hear your experiences. And so maybe if we start with just why you came to use the emulator at all?
Well, actually, the emulator is very good because it's a local developer tool, you provide you an environment that you can build and test your application without mm-hmm. any Azure subscription or any costs.
So the major thing was... Yeah. Being able to develop locally without the sort of costs associated with doing it online. Yeah, I must have been normally with Cosmos, I find the costs pretty low, and that just may be the sort of development we do, but I find I normally just actually go straight to the service. But always in the back of my mind, I've been thinking about using the emulator. And so in terms of using that, maybe we start with, have you found any real differences between when you use the emulator and then when you go to deploy it later to the cloud services?
Okay, so first one is, I have been using the emulator more faster. It's, mm-hmm. it's good to use it if I need to just testing. Yeah, the supporting, the emulator have some limitation. It only supports the SQL API and the MongoDB API in the Data Explorer.
Yeah, that's a really good point. So yeah. So if you're not using the API for NoSQL or the API for MongoDB, then it's not going to do what you need.
Mm. Yeah, and of course the resources limits, you have maximum 10 fixed size containers for the emulator or 5 unlimited containers. And also it have single instant operation only. So mm-hmm. maybe some resources limits that we need to be concerned about. So actually...
Do you install it locally on Windows or were you running it in a container on Linux or something?
I'm running it on Windows.
Mm-hmm.
And the Linux one is just under review now, probably now. So it's open to if anyone to need to have a try.
Yeah, I noticed one of the things with the emulator is that from memory, it only works like provision throughput. It doesn't have the sort of serverless type options. When you deploy your applications, do you tend to have them with provision throughput or with serverless?
Actually, it supports the provision throughput, yes. So I keep on the option of the no serverless option.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but even if you're developing with provisioned, most of the time when you deploy an application, do you tend to do that serverless or provisioned?
No, serverless.
Yep. Yeah, I was going to say, because that seems to be, of course, one of the things that keeps the, in many cases, keeps the cost right down and avoids. I see a number of people who end up with provision throughput and sort of end up over-provisioning what they need. So, yeah, most of the time, once things are deployed, we tend to use serverless in that case. What about authentication to the emulator?
Okay.
I'm thinking when you make a connection to the emulator, like in the service where we've got a choice between using keys or heading more now into RBAC style access. But I think my recollection is in the emulator, it's still basically you just use a key. Is that what you've been doing?
Yeah, it's much easier as it uses a fixed key and key system over the TLS or mm-hmm. the SSL. So you just have like the endpoint and the account key, and you can have all the requests authenticated, and you can go up from there. You don't need anything else.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's good. And then in terms of the structure of things like containers or partitions or anything like that, what sort of things do you do in that regard?
Okay. For the structure, we have like, okay, let me see.
Yeah, I think the reason I was sort of asking is I think the emulator, I recall, had a restriction on sort of like up to 10 fixed size containers or something like that. But I was sort of wondering if you needed to change that around once you end up deploying things.
If you need, to manage like unlimited ones, so you need to use the cloud-based option. Mm-hmm. So you have Cosmos on the cloud, but yeah, we need to have us too limited. It's not good if you need to use like a small amount of resources, mm-hmm. A large number of resources. So, just need like for the emulator, like minimum, let's say 2 giga of RAMs. 10 gigabytes of disk spaces, they will be enough. You'll have a Windows 10 or 11, it would be enough.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's good. And I think from memory, another thing that was sort of different is the available range of consistency levels. I think from memory, the emulator only had session and strong. And I was sort of wondering, when you were developing, which sort of consistency levels do you normally use?
Okay. For the memory, as we have some limitation, like as you said, but it's at least support up to 10 fixed size containers,
mm-hmm.
Or about 5 unlimited size containers. So it may be so limited for us. And as we said, 2 gigabyte RAM required for operation, so it's not so customized for large testing. But if you want to apply a lot of things right there, so you must also, I always do this, like I go and delete and make, start a game with a new project or a new thing. So we always need to have this small memory, unfortunately.
Mm-hmm. And that's what I was sort of wondering about consistency as well. I see a lot of people when they're developing against Cosmos DB, they tend to use either session consistency or they'll use strong, actually, as the other alternative. And often that's where they've come from a more traditional database background where they sort of expect that everything they write is immediately visible to everything else. But, of course, you've normally got the other sort of options. Like I think the looser you head in the consistency, often the better performance you get, but it's a case of trying to make that work appropriately. So, I mean, things like, you know, bounded staleness and, you know, the other options. But I was sort of wondering when you're developing, are you tending to use strong consistency or just at the session level or something else?
So as the emulator supports the session, the session level and the strong consistency level, so I stuck to this. So I don't actually implement any mechanisms for this as it won't either. And every we need to understand the way that while we can set the constancy level, sorry, in the emulator, the actual behavior won't match our sophisticated consistency implementation that is available in the cloud service. So there's some limitation that we could consider when testing application that can rely heavily on specific consistency guarantee.
Mm-hmm. The other one other thing I noticed is the complexity of the queries is more limited in the emulator. It's I think from memory you can only join sort of have 5 join statements per query, although most of the time in Cosmos DB we don't normally write code that requires more than that. But I wonder, has that ever been an issue for you with it?
Actually, no. If I have a problem with that, like the local queries can typically take around 100 milliseconds per request. Mm-hmm. This may be heavy in some cases and may be good, but its performance is slower than expected for some local disk operations.
Mm-hmm.
And changing the provision IO setting has minimal impact on the emulator performance. So if I say like the maximum execution time for a single operation is 5 seconds, it's not so good. It's one of the time constraints that we need to focus on. Yes, it have maximum 5 join statement per query. Maybe a problem for some people that think that we have up to 10 user defined function per query also may be a problem. It have maximum 100 operation in transactional patch. This may be also a problem. And of course, is the response size that is capped at 4 megabytes. So all of these may be the limitation that can make some people go forward to the cloud, not just using the emulator.
Yeah. Hi, this is Greg coming to you from another time and place. If you have a data-related project that needs to get off to a great start with the right architecture, or if you have an existing project that's off the rails, why not contact us? We help organizations of all sizes, from startups to tier one financials, and we can help you too. Check us out at SQLDownUnder.com. That's good. It's one of the things I really like with Cosmos DB too, is that the just the fact that it's in every time there's a new Azure region, it's already provisioned. I think that's it, because they were saying it's a ring zero service. So because things in Azure itself depend on Cosmos DB, then it always is there, because it's one of the first things that gets deployed. So with things you're deploying, do you tend to just deploy in local data centers, or do you ever have anything distributed with replicas or need to do anything else geographic?
Okay, no, I'm using just the local. So, as it has some provisioning characteristics, it is still enough for me to support up for 10 fixed sites containers. So it's just, I think that it was so enough for me in my test cases until now.
Yep. That's good. Yeah, because I think from memory, the emulator also had some restrictions about, things like replication across geographical regions and things like that. But most people who are developing using that, would not be using those sorts of things, at least not during that development phase, most of the time, anyway. That's good. And so, listen, you're mostly doing AI and machine learning type projects. Is there anything special or out of the ordinary that you use in Cosmos DB to help support those sort of applications?
Yeah, too much. Like, it's so good for AI if I'm using it.
So what are the features that make it useful for AI?
The requests, as it supports, I have tried it with a lot of requests per day.
Mm-hmm.
It supports a lot of requests per day, which is something that I can't see in other databases that I have used. It handled the requests so efficient way.
Yeah. Do you use any vector-based code?
Yeah, I'm using this in my chatbot applications. I'm using it a lot. I have used something with Cosmos DB before and building a project with it before. It was so good in handling the request and fast.
Mm-hmm.
So I was stuck to it for a long time.
Yeah, oh, that's good. And what about the sort of just the machine learning side of things? Anything different there that's particularly useful as opposed to just AI? Or is it much the same for what you're doing?
Okay. As I have used the Azure Cosmos as a powerful vector database solution, with machine learning, actually, the state of the art algorithms is so efficient, and it provides high accuracy for the vector search at scale. I have tried this at the time, and it provides 100% retrieval recall for smaller searches. So it helps me a lot.
Yeah.
It's so good for the moderate sized data set. If I'm using a great, if I'm working on a big project, and also storing the vector directly alongside the document data, with some of the features that I am using in my AI applications. So Cosmos helps me a lot in this. I'm using it in things like the semantic searches capabilities. If I'm doing some vector embedding, storage, and querying, if I am needing to integrate it with other services of Azure, like OpenAI and other ML services, this is the way that I'm using Cosmos DB a lot.
No, that's great. And so the applications that you're building, what is the main AI related aspects of those? Like, what do you use AI for in the applications?
So I'm building a tool that can help people in many ways. Like, if you need to have your fine-tuning your model to use it in your chatbot, your own chatbot with your own documentation for privacy things, and you can hosting it, let's say, locally, so no one can have your data, or let's say you can have it on the cloud. I can build like applications that depend heavily on the databases and AI. If I need to have some demos for computer vision applications, that I need to be have a fast response. If I need to detect or recognize anything in the photo, so I need to have a connection that is so good between the my Python code of the computer vision, the detection code, and the database that I'm working with, and need also some other tools, like I am using it, if I'm using it locally, I'm using also the Visual Studio code, which helped me to integrate it to the cloud service faster.
Mm-hmm. And I take it from what you're saying that you're mostly developing in Python, is it?
Yeah. I'm building Python most of the time, so flexible, and the number of libraries and frameworks it have is so good.
Yeah, that's great. And so, listen, we mentioned earlier the emulator had just the two APIs, the NoSQL one and the MongoDB one. I'm presuming you're mostly or you're predominantly using the NoSQL API?
Yeah. When I'm testing it, I just use the API that you have.
Yeah, because it is one of the others that I do see. And that the Mongo one is the other API I see quite a few people using for various things. But yeah, the NoSQL one is still by far and away the most commonly used. In fact, I mentioned with the emulator, it only supported the two, but I think the Linux version of the emulator only supports the NoSQL one at the moment.
Yes. It's actually a lot of users for that right now. Most of the people using it in the container. So it's currently like in preview, so some limitations, as it must be in a gateway mode to run it.
Yeah, that's right. Linux one, yeah, it's only the NoSQL one, but also only in gateway mode, isn't it?
Yeah, and it doesn't support the other API that the one with the Windows support right now, like let's say Cassandra, for example. So it can support like voice operation system and operating system, but I hope it will be developed more in the future.
At least the container-based one makes installation and things really fast. And I think the only real prerequisite is that you've got Docker on the machine, which, again, is almost always going to be there anyway. So it's straightforward to get it installed and running.
Yeah, and without any workarounds.
That's good. I think the only other thing that I noted when I looked through the details of the emulator and some limitations, there's also a little bit of a restriction on the size of the unique identifier for items. I think it's only 254 characters, but I mean, most of the time that's not going to be a real restriction for most practical purposes. How up to date do you find the emulator is compared to the cloud service?
I found it not so step behind. So yeah, we can use it as an updated version. They always update it, but It can be different a little, like, but it has the same thing. Like, you can find the same main things that you can find in the cloud. Just if it's updating the cloud, just wait a little time and they will update it in the emulator as well.
Yeah, that's great. Well, listen, Farah, that pretty much brings us to time. So is there anything where people will see you with sessions coming up or any of the things you're writing that people can see?
Yeah, I am. I will be in a session with Microsoft Reactor at the YouTube. It will be live on February about the CRUD applications with Microsoft Cosmos DP emulator. Thanks you. Thanks for mentioning this.
Yep,
I will
go.
I will go through the operation of how to QGate and read, update, and delete any query you have in your database in the emulator using .NET. And also, I have made a plug similar to it, but with Python. So Python people will not be angry.
Yeah. Great. Well, thank you so very much for your time today, Farah.
Thank you so much.
All good. Thank you.